We're going to move straight into the last video of our series, Talking Jesus. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to watch the video first, and then we would have Belinda. I can't see her. Oh, there she is. Belinda's going to come forward and just give us a talk. Right, video.
Getting an invite from a friend is always really nice, whether it's out to dinner, a birthday party, or even just for coffee. I've got an invitation, and today we're looking at the power of a personal invite.
If we could ask God on a regular basis, is there somebody God is calling us, nudging us, prompting us to invite, and then to actually kind of go and invite that person?
This final session will set us up with some key action points. I've invited some friends to a do-it-yourself pizza kitchen where we're going to discuss things to go and do to help us talk about Jesus.
It's powerful when we listen, because I think that builds relationship. It builds a sense of like, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to know you a bit more. And then being able to speak into that.
Javan has an invite also to a golf driving range.
When we're talking Jesus, we've got to aim for something. You know, if you aim at nothing, we'll hit it, right?
Yeah, that's true. As you saw.
As we just,
We're going to be talking targets, perseverance, and follow through. This is Talking Jesus, training Christians to share their faith.
At the beginning of John's Gospel, we see the forming of a close group of disciples around Jesus. Some of these people Jesus approached directly, but the key for some of them following Jesus was actually a clear invitation from someone else. Peter first was invited to come and see who Jesus was by his brother Andrew. So many people come to faith simply because someone else asked them to come and see Jesus at work in his church.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Jay.
You got your invitation?
Yeah, really excited. I'm so looking forward to hearing what Michael's got to say. Hi, Michael. Good to see you.
Got some popcorn.
Nice.
Some ice
cream.
Yeah.
I'm going chocolate.
Okay, strawberry.
Oh, lots of cream. Great, fantastic.
Michael, thank you for the invitation. But what's this about?
Well, I've been researching invitation for the past 14 years, trying to understand why Christians don't invite their friends. Because what I've discovered is that a personal invitation makes an incredible difference.
Yeah. So what stops them?
Fear. Plain and simple fear. As soon as they get the name of somebody, or even frankly, as soon as we even talk about invitation, fear starts to raise its head, really.
Right. It's actually quite a lot of the biblical characters, isn't it? Similar.
Yeah, I mean, there's numbers of Bible characters that as soon as God calls them to go on mission, that their first feeling is not confidence or passion or, yes, I want to do this for you. It's, no, not me, send somebody else. One of the greatest Bible stories in this regard is, you know, when God calls Moses at the burning bush, we don't hear Moses being confident. You know, we don't actually hear Moses being passionate.
Yeah, he doesn't want to do it, does
he? No, it just doesn't, you know, it's basically his motto was, here am I, send him. And, and not a lot has changed, really. Yeah. You know, and so, you know, when God calls us to do something, our first feeling is not passion. It's more, no, please, not me.
So, you know, it's a really common thing that people are afraid. How do we get over that fear?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I'm not sure it's about getting over it. I think it's really important that we feel the fear, but don't let the fear stop you doing that which God has called you to do.
So we're like in groups doing this course. Like, what would be your top tips to help us to invite?
I think on a regular basis in the group, if it's possible for us to ask God, is there somebody that God is calling us to invite? Hearing the call, talking to one another about what we've just heard, and then going to invite that person to whatever God nudges you, prompts you to invite them to, and then come back and report to the group, you know, so that we're working together to actually kind of become invitational together as a group. I think it's very difficult to do this on our own.
Yeah, so what does success look like with that?
I don't kind of go with the idea of success or failure. I think it's about faithfulness. You know, I think we have to leave the yes and the no of the invitation to God. I think it's really important in our generation that we get away from this target-driven success thing. It's basically kind of a great problem because many people won't do invitation because they've got not got over the last time somebody said no to them. So we need to get faithfulness back. Well done, good and faithful servant, not successful servant.
We're called as disciples to invite people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, but also to invite them to a local church service, to a special event, or into our homes for a meal. Look, it's nearly dinner time. I think it's time we made some pizzas.
What we're gonna do, we have a pizza dough in front of us.
Yep.
We're gonna round on the bottom side and make a bit roundy like this. We're gonna massage a bit.
Okay.
So I leave you to do it.
You're
going to
leave us.
I have to. I'm sorry.
Wonderful. Thank you, sir.
That was so
good. All right. Grazie.
Thanks, Chef. Thank you, Chef. We've all got around about five people in our mind that we're either reaching out to or starting to reach out to. But I guess if we have each of us one in mind for this discussion, what do we do next?
What I found really powerful is asking them if I can pray for them, which is a really good ingredient, I find.
Well, and I think it's important to pray for people by name. God knows every individual. And I think that praying specifically, once we're aware of a need.
Yeah, honestly, I find that compared to anything that I do, just praying beforehand and just trusting God for that person and just sharing, hey, I had this on my heart for you. Don't know if it resonates or not, but I just wanted to tell you. And just seeing that response of like, how did you know that? Or how did you know to pray for that? Or how did you know to ask me that? You have no idea what I'm going through. And I think that's what it's about.
To obviously speak to people about Jesus, we've got to just be around people, right? And it's, I mean, how do we play the part in our communities and in the lives of those we just spend time with?
We may choose invite to pray, but we could give them something. We could connect into their world. Like these elements, there's not a formula in dealing with people. It's not like go through A, B, C, D, but there are elements that are in all of it.
You say give them something. I mean, what are we thinking? what do we give these guys?
Well, I think there's lots of ways you can give gifts. I mean, certainly one of the great gifts is to share the word, you know, either in a Bible or New Testament as appropriate, because that's really our reference point, isn't it? The truth is in there. Because we often get lots of opportunities. And this giving, you know, give the Bible, but sharing a meal. I mean, giving them breakfast, yeah. giving them a pizza.
Giving them a pizza.
Maybe not Roy's pizza.
You have to step into your space with the people you're connected with because probably no one else will have that relationship or that connection.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to say, like, when people ask questions, that, oh, I don't know that. I think sometimes we feel like we need to know all the answers and then I can share and then I can talk to them and then I can relate. But none of us has the ultimate knowledge of everything at all. Yeah. So I think it's okay to just be humble and be like, actually, I don't know, but do you want to find out together? Do you want to discover that with me?
That's okay, because God will use you in the way you are.
And it's really important, Roy, that, because I think a lot of people are fearful that they have to become somebody else. Do you know what I mean?
No, yeah, absolutely.
And it's really important that people feel that actually God can use who they are.
When we talk about Jesus and we're sharing Jesus, it's no one thing. It's all the elements that go up to that conversation or into that conversation. So what's happened in their life up until this point, all those elements connect to that moment as we share Jesus.
Yeah.
So, I've been invited down to a golf range here in London. Here to meet Andrew, and I think he's got some golf lessons lined up for us. Not sure that's got to do with talking Jesus, but let's go find out.
Hey, my friend, how you doing?
Andrew.
Good. That's a golf club.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Should we hit a few balls?
Well, what do I do with it? All over.
Straight down here. Where did yours go?
Afternoon, gents. After them shots, it looks like there's certainly some help needed to be in these 2 days.
There certainly is.
Let's try and get you guys to be a little bit better than that, shall we? Is that you're going to do your normal back shoulders? Look, you're bigger than your shoulders. There we go. Okay, gents, right, so the next part now, once you've got the follow-through correct and you've got the setup, is you've actually got to start to aim for certain things, so targets, all right?
We were aiming.
As in, the green.
Just make sure that is pointing roughly where you want the ball to be going.
Yeah.
Sit the club behind the ball, have a golf shot.
Easy,
and let's see if the ball goes in the hole. I'm going to leave you to that. I wish you all the best, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, this has all been great, eh? But what's the link between this and talking Jesus?
Have a target, you know, hit towards something. And I think that's a really good tip. When we're talking Jesus, we've got to aim for something. You know, if you aim at nothing, we'll hit it, right?
Yeah, that's true. as you saw.
As we just, yeah. But we want to be aiming, focused, intentional about talking Jesus. And that means knowing who we're praying for, knowing how we're sharing.
So how do you do that without... just without stressing yourself out, without doing it too much?
Yeah, that is a challenge, isn't it? But I think it's saying, on the one hand, be intentional, you know, choose the right club, think it through. But on the other hand, don't force the shot. You know, let that club do the work. And I think when it comes to talking Jesus, we need to be intentional. We need to know what we're doing, be focused.
Sure.
But we've also got to let God do the work. Ultimately, no one is helped by us forcing it, by putting pressure on. That's counterproductive. We need to trust that God's story is powerful, that the Holy Spirit's with us. And as we just do our everyday talking Jesus, God's Spirit will do the work, and we'll see lives change without forcing it.
Yeah, great. So then what about the follow-through part of the shot?
Yeah. Yeah, that seemed pretty important to him, didn't it? You know, that we didn't stop partway through. And I think, you know, this talking Jesus is so important that we don't give up, that we don't quit in prayer. You know, we've got to follow through. And there's such power in persevering prayer, I think. So let's follow through in prayer, but also just follow through in loving, staying with, listening, talking to our friends. People go through different seasons in life. It may not always be easy to be a witness, but if we don't give up, if we follow through, there'll be moments where God gives us great opportunities and we'll see lives transformed. So let's have targets, you know, let's let the club do the work and let's follow through and in our talking Jesus.
That's great. Well, whenever I see another golf range, I'm going to be thinking about all those
all
things.
The amazing lessons, yeah. That's right, yeah.
Well, I've got a couple of balls left. We should
we should hit a few more.
Just smash some more.
Truth. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
This is
like
heavenly.
So, Roy, what do we do when we just don't know what to do?
Well, you've done this entire course.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have some idea of what to do and how to do it, and that it's perfectly natural. But let's just recap on some of the things that we've gone through. Prayer is really, really important. Secondly, let's be in community with people. Is really, really important. Thirdly, let's recognize that we need to be invitational people. So we actually invite people to things that we value, that we think are important. Fourth, give. We've found the power of the Bible. 24% of people come to faith through reading the Bible. So let's give. Wow. Maybe Mark's Gospel, or show them somewhere on YouVersion or a digital or something.
Yeah.
But the Bible is really, really powerful. And the final thing is that our story is really valuable. And once we've connected with their story, let's not be ashamed of our story. So those are the five things that are really simple. We just need to do them.
Yeah, that's great. Mm. Lionel.
Yeah.
Talk to us about prayer.
Yeah, so I mean, it's really important. You're closer for people requesting prayer than you think you are. Because really, it's important. I remember an example when I used to go to a barber shop, and I used to go there for a long time. And then one day, one of the barbers asked me to pray. And I haven't got time to say how it's transformed his life, just that thing. And then pray almost straight away if you can. Mm-hmm. So often we sort of say, yeah, I'll pray for you. Sometimes you forget. Or the present prayer, powerfully speaking into somebody's life,
yeah.
At that moment,
oh, yeah.
Can really be important.
Yeah.
That's great.
And when you're in the barber's chair, you're there forever anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true. Well,
not like this.
I was going to say, not you, Roy. Sharon, what about when it comes to sharing with people?
Oh, do you know what? Roy said it. It's like your story is one of the most powerful things because it's your story. Anyone can come and dispute whatever and argue about the Bible, whatever, but they can't argue that your story didn't happen. Yeah. So even before sharing, I think just to listen to what that person is saying or what they've been through, it's powerful when we listen because I think that builds relationship. It builds a sense of like, I want to hear what you have to say. I want to know you a bit more. And then being able to speak into that.
So there's a balance to be struck, you know, with being present and staying in close proximity to our friends, our neighbours, our family, our colleagues, yeah, and actually having the confidence to speak up and say something and to offer prayer and ultimately to inviting them to something at our church.
In the most natural way in the world is the easiest way to do this.
That was good, wasn't it? Right. So one of the things they talked about was sharing your story. I'm just going to invite Belinda now to, for a few minutes, share her own story, and then we'll have a chat afterwards.
Hello, thank you. So it's a bit dry when you see it on a video, isn't it? Just talking about what to do, and it puts almost a wall up and a pressure on us. I just want to, am I even on? What have I done?
Do you know what?
I'm very tech, me. That's better. Just to sum up really all the videos, it's there to help us. It's not there to be a barrier. It's there to be a way of helping us, really. And I think my main message is it's easier than we think. In a sense, right now, they're saying there's a quiet revival. People are wanting to hear about Jesus. And we're the guys, salt and light. We're leaking it out. We're going to be the people that are asked. Some of these slides I'm going to shoot through, but Adam is going to put them on the WhatsApp in the week for you to have a bigger look at, because we're doing it slightly differently today. So this is what they've been talking about on the video. One of my questions, look at what we've got. Okay, hands up. Are you happy that you know Jesus? Hands up, show of hands in the room. Which I'm hoping quite a few, but yeah, thank you. Well done, kids over there. Are you happy that Jesus changed your life? Yep, good hands. Wouldn't you like your friends and family to have exactly this experience, to know what we know? Yeah. Is anybody here because somebody once told them about Jesus or asked them to come to church? Yeah. Yeah, there you go, quite a few hands. So actually, quite a lot of people in the room are here for that reason. And it can be quite hard talking about it. And these questions I am going to shoot through, but they will be on the slides. And that, I think that's quite an interesting one, especially people that are newer in. How do we come across when you first join us? Please do give us feedback so that we can change that if it's not something that's working. We really need to know. Ultimately, we all know in this room that God has changed our lives, that he does change our lives. And in a sense, you know, sometimes we talk about what's our easiest audience, what's our hardest. Personally, my hardest audience would be the people that know me really well and my friends and family, because they know you. They know all that, you know, you've said it before. They don't tend to take as much notice. Sorry, guys on camera, if my family are there on Zoom. So I'm actually going to just go through a little bit. We're talking now about this quiet revival where people want to know. There's a real change, there's a shift, and life has got tough for a lot of people. We've had the pandemic, we've had maybe world leaders that are not as honest. And people are looking for the truth. They are looking for something more, and we know there's something more. We've already got that. So, in a sense, what they're looking for is something that we carry that is different, They are recognizing there's something about us that is different to them, and they want to know what that is. Why do we stay calm in a crisis, or why do we, you know, offer to pray for them, as they were saying in the video? And what's really attractive to people, I think, is the character of God. It's the character of the Lord that we follow. It's his character, who he is, that is attractive. And the sharing Jesus or chatting about Jesus to people comes from that relationship that we have with our Father, with the Lord. And in a sense, that doesn't matter. Some people call him God, some people call him the Lord, some people call him Jesus. It's all the same. And don't get bowed down or who says what and how other people do it. How other people do it is how other people do it. How you do it is how you do it. And it's your personal relationship with him that matters. But it's that relationship, I think, that gives us the confidence to speak out, because it's valid. What we feel, what we are, is valid. People can see that. And people respond to that in us, to our passion, to our... That it's powerful. That is a powerful thing that we carry. And whether you like or don't like talking about Jesus, you will be carrying it. You will be salt and light where you go. People will notice. It will change atmospheres. There's this outrageous grace of God's love for us. It's humbling. It's unbelievable. It's sort of crazy that he does what he does for us, but he does. And I think it's important to know there is no rule book. We've just had 6 videos with various ways of doing it. I quite like getting together to make videos and chatting. Pizzas and chatting. That was really quite a cool way of doing things. It was quite an easy way of doing things, or sitting in the cinema. Not everyone is going to easily come through the doors of a church. Obviously, we are an advantage because it's a school. It's maybe easier to walk into, or on a Sunday morning. But if you are demonstrating that relationship, that will tend to dictate how you act or react. Everyone is different. There is no right or wrong approach to this. There's no way of saying, do it this way, do it that way. Each of us is individual, and each individual we talk to will need a different approach from God. Maybe chat to someone that you feel does it the way that you'd like to do it, or maybe watch somebody in action. Maybe talk to the people that you relate to, find out how they're doing that, how they chat about Jesus being part of their life. And in a sense, that's all we're doing. We're chatting about Jesus being part of our life. They said on the video, we don't have to have all the answers. Well, thank God for that. And actually saying to somebody, you know, I don't know. I actually don't know. Let's think about that together, or let me have a think about that. Let me ask somebody else that might know. That's fine. We don't have to have all the answers. And maybe what we need to do is tune in a bit more. We are never going to know. You know, I've been guilty of it myself in the past. We're all guilty of it. Saying, oh, I don't think that person's ready yet to hear what I believe. They're not quite ready. I'm going to wait till my moment, till they're ready. Now, there's something to be said for that, waiting for the prompt of the Holy Spirit, wait until you feel it's right. But at the same time, we're never going to know when that person's ready, because God is working on their heart. We're not. It's God that's going to know when that person's ready. So let the Holy Spirit do that bit. Maybe open the subject. I think saying to somebody, I'll pray for you, is quite a lightweight, easy thing to do. Oh, yeah, I'll pray. My mum's not well. Oh, I'll pray for her. You've already then opened a gate, haven't you? If they want to walk through that gate and respond, that's fine. If they don't, that's also fine. I think times have changed. I've been around a long time. And I think it's easier now to have those sort of throwaway comments in the middle of a conversation than it used to be. There's definitely a more openness to what we talk about and believe. Great, try and tune in and sort of, you know, if you feel that you're being prompted, there's a thought or a feeling, test the water, maybe throw in a little comment about going to church or your friend at church or whatever it is, or what you believe, and just test that water and see what comes next. And sometimes that takes a while for people to come back, sometimes years before they'll say, you once said, can I ask? So never force that conversation. I think what's really bad is to kind of preach at people, you know, tell them, talk, but also the most important thing is to listen. I put that in capital letters. We need to listen. We need to hear with our own ears and the Holy Spirit's ears to what people really want and need and are asking. It's always better, in my opinion, for people to come to you and ask, and just us to be able to respond quite naturally. It's fine to acknowledge that the world can be a difficult place, that they're going through difficult stuff. It's fine. The outcome of any conversation, the response to any conversation, once we've had it, then lies with God. We're not responsible for someone's heart response. God is. So you, in a sense, hold it lightly. Let it be a normal part of yourself. It's part of who we are. It's part of what we do. Your faith will just leak out of you. If anybody chats to me for any length of time, it will tend to fairly easily come out what I believe in. And, for example, that I do stupid things like dressing up for Comic-Con, hence the dark brown hair, which it wasn't last week. But that just comes out. And do people view that as slightly strange? Yeah, probably both of those things. Is that part of who I am? Yes. So I'm naturally going to talk about who I am, and that's part of who I am, so it's fine. And it's kind of in the same vein. I don't mean it's the same as Comic-Con, but you know what I mean. It's one of those things that's slightly out there that some people get really excited about when I tell them, some people never talk about it again. And in a sense, Jesus is a bit like that. So we throw those comments out and they're out there. And it may be quite a lot later that somebody might come back and ask you about it. So, yeah. And I, again, coming back to it, I think the real key is to deepening your relationship with God. People will recognize in it you, him in you. Be open. Be aware. Don't beat yourself up if you bottled it as well. That's another thing. If you think, oh, I should have spoken to that. I should have spoken to that. That's fine. God will give you another opportunity. Don't, you know, and he'll, I'm no doubt, put somebody else in that person's path. Don't feel the guilt and start beating yourself up. Think, okay, I recognize maybe I should have had that conversation. Maybe next time I will. Use that as a kind of stepping stone, I guess. There are two things God said, Jesus said, about the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That actually sums this whole thing up. First and foremost, it comes from loving the Lord our God, because it comes from our relationship with him. That's why we chat about it. Secondly, it's about loving the people around us, isn't it? Whether that's a person on the street you never see again or someone you're really close to. That's all we're doing, in a sense. And maybe for the second people that we love, to open up the first bit for them. And sometimes it may be that something like a church service is hard to come to. For example, in this church, we're doing on the 14th, the Christmas service. Invite someone, bring them along, mention it to them. They don't have to come, that's their choice, but you've mentioned it, given out the leaflets. The leaflet dropping that we're going to do is really important as well. On the 13th at Larchfield at 4 o'clock, Fiona, there's a little carols, readings, mince pies, traditional, maybe a little bit less threatening at the Larchfield Centre. That might be appropriate to bring. That is there deliberately to bring somebody to. That's what that's for. That's for us to sort of think, if there's somebody that that might suit, bring that along. Fiona said to me earlier, it's about casting your net in every direction, because we don't know what people are going to respond to, do we? So that's near enough it, but I think Obi was going to come up. And we were chatting about this Friday night, and he said, I think we both kind of came up with the questions and answers was working quite well. So if you guys have got answers too, we want to hear from you. So rather than small group discussion, we're throwing it a bit open today.
Yeah, so... That was really good, by the way. Right, so I'm going to ask Belinda a bunch of questions. Well, we're going to have a chat, but please, if you want to add anything, just feel free to.
Or if you have a better answer than mine, because yes, some of you guys, I'm looking at Clifford, too. Some of you guys have done this for years.
So the first one I'm going to talk about.
That's one more thing I did think of. One of the things, sorry, Obi, this is nothing to do with Friday night. One of the things that's really powerfully hit me this morning is, yes, we know there's this quiet revival in the youth, but I really strongly am feeling people that have been around a lot of years, and I'm included in that, who thought maybe that time had gone, that wasn't their time, it's back, guys. There's a real revival right now, and we are feeling that same thing we felt years ago. But right now, we're grounded in this foundation of love and security that we've known 40, 50 years, some of us, and we know that it's true. That's different from years ago. There's a real strength to this, and to us older guys.
Right, so I'm just going to ask about the workplace. Because for a number of people, for most people, our lives revolve around work, family, kids, and the workplace can be quite challenging, especially if it's a place where the culture is sort of laddish and stuff like that. How do you express your faith in such an environment?
Good question. I work in the care industry, so technically not allowed, obviously, with the people I look after. That's not what we're meant to do. But with the staff and colleagues, all do know I'm Christian, and I don't, does it come up every day? No, they all know that I am, and we have those conversations. And I think, in a sense, I'm in a caring environment. It's relatively easy. I think it definitely is harder in that lad culture, and it definitely is, I suspect, harder for men than for women to do this. That's a generalisation. But I think lightweight things about, probably the easiest way of introducing it is, oh, my friend from church. You've put that word there, haven't you, already? Or, oh, what do you do on a weekend? Oh, well, actually, Sunday morning I was, at a church service.
Sorry, just on that, for some people, it could feel quite awkward saying that.
Yeah. So sometimes I would tip that the other way and I'd chat to them about what they've done at the weekend. I do tend to find when things are difficult for people is when they're softer. If there's something going on in their lives that's hard, then that's a good time to talk. But one of the things, like the culture, obviously we get involved in that kind of bitchiness as women or the lad culture as men. Don't be involved in that. In a sense of don't join in necessarily, don't be feeling you have to compete on that level. That goes on around me in the office, obviously. I tend not to join in. I also don't condemn anybody for doing it. It's not my place to judge, and it sometimes can be uncomfortable if you're hearing things. If it's bullying type stuff, then I will challenge that, obviously. But if it's just that kind of lad culture and jokes and chat, you don't have to be part of that, but you can be there and not be part of that. You can be there and have a sense of humour and do the kind of cleaner jokes. I remember once somebody at work looked at me years ago, said, well, you can't be a Christian. And I went, why can't I be a Christian? She went, but you're not kind of pious, you're funny, you join in with the rest of us. So that's kind of the level I'm talking. The fact that they're shocked you're a Christian because you're just friendly, you're just open and you're being nice to them. And they won't even necessarily notice you're not doing the kind of lad culture or bitching thing with them. And then that kind of dwells with somebody. So that's quite a nice response, I think. You can't be a Christian.
Just on being awkward and being weird, because I have had a situation in the past where someone just said, well, that's weird, mm-hmm. right? And that can be quite off-putting, you know what I mean? It sort of...
Yeah,
you don't want to try again because everyone thinks that's weird to, talk about God or Jesus and stuff.
Oh, like yeah, that. No. Well, my response, I've had that. I've had crazy, weird, strange, eccentric. I'd be like, oh, yes, I am. I'm really weird. This is what I believe, I guarantee, does come across as a bit strange. A lot of people think what I believe is weird, but it is what I believe. And it's changed my life. It's made it easier when I've gone through stuff because I'm not on my own. It's actually part of who I am. And I absolutely realise other people may think that's a bit strange. I would acknowledge it. I think it's absolutely fine to acknowledge, yeah, what I believe is a bit strange. Equally, this is what it's done in my life. Or even just acknowledge it and say, yeah, what I believe is a bit strange. And then maybe there'll be another conversation later when you can kind of explain why this weird stuff that you believe has made a difference in your life.
Just on that, does anyone want to add anything to what we're saying? All right, come on, Scott. Yeah, go on.
They say that in polite society, you don't talk about religion or politics. And it strikes me that with what's going on in the world, it's a very relevant subject that people are worried about. So yeah. In a sense, why wouldn't you talk about it? But how would you approach that if someone is that sort of a little bit reserved or it's not polite to talk about that?
Just in the famous words of Alistair Campbell, we don't do Jesus, we don't do God. Do you guys remember that when he said that?
Yeah, Tony Blair once said to whatever president it was, they said, should we pray? Oh, we don't do that, was a Tony Blair comment. And he was Christian. So, yeah, I in response to that, I went, sorry, it's part of who I am. It just tends to be part of my conversation. Sorry if that does offend you. Don't worry. You know, I think you have to validate what people are saying to you. Don't ever dismiss how they feel. And in my experience, to be honest, Scott, the people that are reacting to it are the ones that are closest to wanting it. The ones that say, oh, that's lovely. The worst response, I think, is, oh, isn't that nice for you that you've got a faith? I don't need it. That's, for me, harder than the person who said, no, don't talk about it.
Do you not get discouraged when people say, I don't need that?
That's probably the most discouraging. I've had, I help at a youth club as well, and I had kids saying, we obviously, it's the Westboro Baptist Church, we talk about God sometimes. And this kid said, well, I don't believe in God. I went, that's all right. He believes in you still, doesn't matter. And that's quite a powerful response, funnily enough. Don't worry, you don't have to. He believes in you.
You just did something now. So, like, that response you gave, for some people, they don't have that retort back, that thing to quit back with. Where does that come from? Do you have to rehearse at home or stuff like that?
Personally, no. I tend to just do it in response at the time. But as we've learned with these videos, there are people who do need time to think it through, to get their story, to rehearse. I think one of the most powerful things we have is our testimony. Literally, somebody the other day said to me, why do you walk strangely? And I actually do. I've got a very odd gait. And it's because for 20 years I had a really severe back issue because of nursing without hoists, which my generation did. And one meeting, very quiet sort of evening meeting, this older guy stood up and said, I think they might be here with back problems. Now, I'd had 20 years of back being prayed for back problems, so I didn't tend to go forward. But I did that day. I was prompted to. And I came away and I thought, oh. And it was really quiet prayer, no big. I thought, oh, my back doesn't hurt anymore. This is weird. Because I was not hurt. I was always aware of it. If I sneezed, I'd put my hand there because it would go out. It would then cause me issues. I couldn't bend to the floor and stuff. And the only way I could test this theory in this middle of this meeting was my handbag was on a chair because I couldn't actually get to the floor. And I was like, so I spent about 20 minutes literally at the back of the meeting going, putting my handbag a bit lower and a bit lower. And I thought, flip, I haven't been able to get to the floor for years. This is amazing. So you just say, well, actually, what happened was God healed that. If people ask me a question, I'll answer the question. And I guess I'm lucky I'm older. I think as we get older, we do care less what people think. I think that is an element of being a bit older. You're like, you take me or you leave me, you know. And it's, if you think I'm eccentric, that's fine. It is hurtful sometimes with stuff people say. I've heard people talking about me behind my back. It's fine, in a sense. So,
should we do one more?
Yeah.
And this one's more for young people. So teenagers, that kind of age bracket. For them, well, I'm not a teenager now, but thinking back to when I was one, it can be quite uncool to do church stuff. But yet, there is an expectation, at least for them, to somehow share their faith or leave out their faith. What would you want to say to a young person?
I think particularly for young people, don't feel that pressure. If you feel, you know, obliged to, it's not going to come out naturally. It'll come out by people knowing you. Now, we live in a world now for the teenagers where it is okay to be different. In my generation, it wasn't as okay to be different, to have slightly different views or slightly different look or a slightly different approach to life. It has, in a sense, as Christians, we're in that same bracket. We have a slightly different approach to life, as do a lot of teenagers in other ways. And it's not a problem in that sense. It is a hard environment to do it with because obviously school, you've got that environment of other people talking about you and the gathering in groups thing. And there is no prescribed way of doing it. But I think one of the things I think is really important at school and for our young people is to teach them really young that when things are difficult, when you're not with them and they're at school, that they can pray in their own heads. They can ask God for help. I think that's a real key for a younger person. The most important group in any church are the children. and the young people. They are the people that are still making their own decisions. We're here because we've chosen to be. They haven't. They're coming because their parents have brought them. They are the most important group you'll ever work with because they are still looking and finding. And if you can just put those ideas that actually God is there for them, regardless of what they've done and said, and never beat yourself up if you don't. You don't have to mention it at school. You don't have to. If it comes out naturally in conversation, great. If it comes out with your close friends probably know, and a lot of your rest of your school friends don't. And don't be condemned by that. Just let it be a natural part of who you are. And I do, obviously, we all do in our heads, ask God for stuff. And now and again, it'll actually come out loud, which is, that's just me. And people say, what? I said, sorry, that's what I do. Literally, like, I'll pray for a parking space if there isn't one, the silly little thing. It's part of my kind of conversation with God, which actually brings us full circle back to our relationship with God. And for a teenager and a child, particularly, learning to know yourself is really hard. It's really hard working out who you are, where you fit, what you feel, what you think. And God is really good at helping you understand that. The Holy Spirit can really help you through the teenage years to become who you're trying to be, to find that secure foundation to be who you want to be, to do what you want to do. And when things are not going well at school, praying can change things. It can change the atmosphere. It can change what's going on. And you don't need to be brilliant at it. You don't need all the words. You just need to say, help me here. Just help me here, God. Help me, Jesus, in your head. And he will. He will. It's not an easy place to be, school. It's not an easy place to be.
Thank you, Belinda. Thank you so much.